This is SaaS Scaled, the podcast where data meets action with host Armon Shrocky. Each week, Armon will be sitting down with CEOs and industry leaders from the technology sector, giving you the insight to innovate without reinventing the wheel. They'll discuss challenges, best practices, and how to identify the right metrics. So if you want to get to market faster and in a way that matters, then subscribe and join us every week as we discuss SaaS Scale. This episode is brought to you by Curvey, the modern no-code analytics solution, the tools you need to take action with your data on a platform built for maximum scalability, security, and cost efficiencies. If you're ready to reduce complexity and dramatically lower costs, then contact us today at curvey.com. That's Q-R-V-E-Y.com.
Hello, welcome to another episode of SaaS Scaled. I'm pleased to welcome Hikari to our show. And
thanks for having me, Armon. Really excited to be here.
No, thank you very much for your time. And we are going to have a fantastic discussion around AI, around, you know, marketing and a lot of things that, you know, you are very, very much, you have spent a lot of time around it. And we look forward to gain your insight. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and about the company?
Sure. So I studied computer science at Harvard, focusing on machine learning and AI. So I've been passionate about AI for really my entire career ever since college. And even in high school, I created like a recommender app that would recommend, it was a website that would recommend clothes based on like the clothes that you liked. And so been in AI for, passionate about AI for some time. Had early taken this machine learning course at MIT where I first learned about, and that's really what got me excited about Gen AI. My dad's an artist, and so the idea of an AI being creative, of generating art, I found to be like the most kind of intersection of so many of my interests. And so that's how I got into Gen AI, was almost a decade ago after this class at MIT. And then separately had started two venture-backed companies in college, one of which was in education. It was about personalized learning application. It was acquired by another company in the Bay Area, where I became the head of marketing. And so as they're running marketing, combined with my passion in generative art, that I saw this opportunity to have AI autonomously generate advertising content and optimize content and creative content and optimize campaigns 24/7 in kind of an agentic way. And that's why OmniKey is called OmniKey, because we're an omni-channel platform. And we've been an AI company from day one. Riding the AI wave. So our first product integrated GPT-2. We would take GPT-2 embeddings from Hugging Face and deploy that, those for customers back in 2019, 2020. Then we quickly integrated GPT-3 and GPT-4. And then for the ad generation, it was initially we recommend stock photos, and then we integrated Stable Diffusion image generation, and then we integrated DALL-E, and now we're integrating cutting edge Gen AI models to generate product photos and ads. And actually, I can even share kind of a quick screen of this right now for those that are watching on YouTube. And so basically, the way the tool works, and all your users, all your listeners can listen, can try this out themselves. They can sign up, free trial, 2 week, within 2 minutes, you can sign up, generate ads, and launch ads through our platform. Within 2 minutes. And so it's this seamless automated ad generation, ad launching tool that incorporates real-time performance data, what's working, what's driving clicks. We have an API integration with all your different ad platforms. And then you can launch, generate, and then launch, deploy these ads across all your advertising channels, Meta, Google, LinkedIn, TikTok, Snapchat, Pinterest, Reddit, et cetera. And really it's like a automated, you know, it's like an automated AI agency almost, but it's actually completely self-service and there's again free to use for the first 7 days.
Okay, that's great. That's great. Thank you very much for sharing that. Now, when we look at really AI intersection of AI with marketing, and of course, marketing has been one of the most used web use cases for, you know, AI. So, you know, amongst the use cases that actually people could see the value when it comes to marketing. Now, you guys have been very much ahead of the curve. You are talking about, you know, some years ago when people at school didn't know about ChatGPT, but you knew about it. You started, you know, even building something with very early stage of the technology. And from your perspective, if you want to really think about content marketing or marketing with and without Gen AI, what would be the top three benefits and what would be the top three main advantages for someone who utilizes Gen AI with the content marketing versus somebody who doesn't?
Well, I think it's going to be pretty tough to compete in marketing if you aren't using Gen AI. Number one, the attention spans of consumers are getting shorter. So you actually need an order of magnitude more content now to deliver results. And not only that, but the algorithms have also shifted. Meta's algorithms have, for example, shifted to prioritize volume of creative. So now you need thousands of creative to drive performance on Meta, for example. And most marketing teams are not just structured to generate the volume of creative you need to compete even normally. You oftentimes have, even at the largest enterprises actually, are understaffed in terms of designers. There's real need to quickly incorporate Gen AI to generate marketing assets and scale those assets and launch and run and optimize those assets as autonomously as possible, because that's what's necessary to compete and stay ahead of the curve. It's never been easier to create content, but it's never been harder to create smart, personalized content that's relevant for your audience. And so we built this platform as out of the box. You can go in and generate content, launch content that's intelligent, personalized based on the data integrations we have with your marketing stack, with your advertising stack, to learn what is the design aesthetic interests of your customers and your users, what kind of keywords, what kind of imagery drive performance, what kind of persuasion tactics drive performance. And then we autonomously, you know, generate these ads within seconds that you can then launch. I would say that the saying goes is you're not going to be replaced by an AI today, but you're going to be replaced by someone who's using AI. And I think that's the current reality of the landscape for marketers.
And when you look at the way AI is today, and you, if you wanted to suggest or you wanted to think about some of the limitations or some of the things that you wish it could work better, where are those areas that you may limit yourself, or you may face a limitation and say, these areas probably will be improved soon, but yet, you know, I have to be careful about these areas?
I mean, it's hard to say, because the rate in which this technology is improving is exponential. Any kind of, shortcoming technologically that's, you know, possible, that's maybe true in May 23rd of 2025, may not be true a month from now. I mean, you know, maybe a month ago I would have said video generation wasn't that great, but now video generation is really good, and Google just released their new video model, and video generation is very good. The goalposts are constantly being moved forward almost every month, and so it's hard to say. I think that said, though, the area where there's the most very clear challenges just in the regulatory and legal clarity regarding the use of Gen AI images. Where are the liabilities? Who has ownership for the creative content? There's some rulings regarding the copyrightability of some of the AI generated content. But I think that's going to probably still continue to progress slowly in terms of that clarity. And so that probably is an area where there's the most pushback. But the actual underlying technical capabilities is improving, so quickly that, and again, exponentially. So it's not even linear, but like truly exponentially. So like the rate of change is also accelerating, that it's hard to say in terms of like technical capabilities, if there are shortcomings. Shortcomings are quickly being resolved.
So do you think for the future of software, and especially when it comes to what you guys do, meaning that utilizing marketing and technology that is AI and software, is it going to be easier to build these software applications? Is it going to change the life of software business because the barrier to entry is going to be lower? or a school you think that there is a, you know, very kind of, you know, there are some work and very hard work and some years of work to get to actually a perfect solution, even if you are utilizing AI, but it still doesn't mean that your product will be ready in 3 months, 6 months, and much faster than 3 years, 4 years that you had to build a very robust version of yourself.
Yeah. I mean, I think the value will be captured maybe not purely in the act of writing software, but in other areas. And so, but this is, I think, true even today, right? Like the value of most software companies isn't necessarily in the software, but it's in the network effects. It's in the distribution and sales advantages and relationships you've developed through your software. It's in the brand you've built. And it's in the kind of intuitiveness of the product. You've just built a good product that solves a problem really well. And I think, you know, the value of product design and in building an intuitive product that solves customer challenges well, their pain points well, the value of network effects, the value of brand, those aren't going to change over time. Those are only going to increase, I think. But yeah, the act of writing software is quickly getting commoditized. And, you know, that's going to be great for consumers because now you're going to have more options from more great software vendors and apps than ever before. Anybody will be able to generate and create compelling apps with AI, which means now there's just going to be probably a flourishing of apps that improve different kinds of problems that hadn't probably been solved before.
And with regard to what you guys provide, what is that segment of the market that would benefit most? Is it a particular segment like software companies can benefit most out of it, or it's a particular vertical? Maybe any other way to segment it. I wonder, you know, who would benefit from this technology that you offer most, and who are those, you know, sweetest spot and best customers of you?
I mean, I think any company that's running ads digitally, I think, can benefit from our product and our software. Just to reiterate, you know, if you want to run an effective advertising campaign today, you need thousands of variations of content to drive results. And I must bet that most companies are not running thousands of variations of advertising content, and they're not maximizing the performance of what their ads can deliver for them. And so I think any company running digital ads can benefit. I think for us, we've seen a lot of our customers are e-commerce. A lot of our customers are SaaS, and they're in the consumer space. So like fintech and healthcare, those are also big areas for us. It doesn't even have to be, you know, large number of our customers aren't even physical products. They are, you know, digital services or crypto. And I think everybody's looking to get an edge in terms of getting more users, getting more signups. And for us, for example, for our own ads, I can say that we're dog fooding our own product. We're drinking our own champagne. And what's really exciting is that we're running our ads profitably. And so, you know, that means we're spending, you know, $1 to acquire a customer, and we're getting $2 in revenue from that customer through sales, through, you know, being a subscriber and being upsold. And so what's happening here with advertising is that the advertising market is actually expanding. You know, advertising has historically been about 1% of global GDP, but I think if you can replace a large number of the sales functions and the revenue, but historically advertising was a cost center. You know, it was just for predominantly for brand building, which was viewed as a cost center. But now, if you can scale ads to generate sales, and you can actually be a revenue generator through personalized targeted ads, now I think ads can take on more of the, you know, sales function as well. Targeted ads, it can take on more of the sales function in the business. That, you know, and if you think about it, also, an advertising is way more effective in some ways than sending a cold email or sending a LinkedIn message. An ad is a video. It's a rich graphic that communicates a value prop, and probably way more effectively than however many characters you have in a headline email to convince someone to click to learn more and click that email. So I think actually the market for ads is actually not only and the market for digital ads isn't just limited. I think it's actually expanding because of generative personalization and attribution capabilities of this industry?
It's a very interesting point that you mentioned, that moving something from cost center to revenue center, you know, being something revenue center rather than cost center, it changes everything, right? So, for example, even historically, if you look at, for example, one of the biggest innovations in, you know, very old days, for example, you know, in Rome, that was the first time that actually they learned how to really make army a revenue center rather than a cost center. And that changed everything. They created this big army and, you know, they could really just, the army come in and just add to the revenue of the GDP of, you know, that kind of country rather than being just a cost center and soldiers just get paid to defend the country. So the same thing in modern age that you see in many areas that companies, some, you know, functions can move. And you just mentioned advertisement nowadays. For many SaaS companies, I know that they are counting on inbound, you know, just leads. And from their perspective, they need to really run the advertisement better and more efficiently in order to generate more leads and increase sales. Now, you mentioned a point that may not be super clear to everyone. You said we need thousands of variations of the ad in order to be efficient, to be more impactful. Now, can you explain? And of course, I know that AI can help you to create, you know, unlimited number of ads that otherwise, you know, just counting on human resources to do that is very, very tough job and very expensive and slow. So that part is obvious, but we may not appreciate exactly to the details around why does it matter in advertisement to have thousands of versions of that ad versus just a limited number?
Sure. So because creative fatigue is a real problem. And that's just human psychology. So it's been shown that an ad, if a consumer sees an ad, the same ad more than four times, it decreases conversion rates by 50%. And so you're wasting money by showing, because what's expensive with an ad today is actually not the creative. What's expensive is the impression. It costs money to serve that ad. And to serve that ad at scale, it is what costs money. And so you have so many chances in terms of impressions you get based on a certain, based on, you know, a limited ad spend, or even if you have a large ad spend, you're getting, you know, certain number of impressions, and you want to make every impression count. And if you're wasting those impressions showing the same ad over and over again, you're going to disengage that consumer. You're going to probably destroy brand value potentially if you show an annoying ad over. If a consumer doesn't like an ad and now you're showing it over and over again, that's going to even be worse. You're going to destroy brand value. That you're going to destroy trust. And that's just truly a massive, massive waste of money. And so that's why people say that, you know, 50% of ads budgets are wasted on ineffective content. And it's because of this challenge, I think partly due to, you know, number one, the ads aren't personalized and relevant for that consumer. But number two is because of ad fatigue. Even if it is relevant, maybe the first or one or two times, it's probably not relevant the sixth or seventh or eighth time they've heard that messaging now ad nauseum. You need to try a different type of messaging to engage that customer. And so, just that there's the frequency impact, and I think ultimately also just, you know, the variety of people and personas that you're targeting. I mean, there's just an opportunity, like. Generally, like the messaging, you know, if you're a salesperson, for example, you're not going to say the same exact robotic script to a million people every time you meet with a candidate, you know, or a potential client. You're going to learn about that client or that sales prospect, and then you're going to personalize your pitch based on their interests, based on their problems and challenges. And yet today, advertising is kind of more of that robotic approach where you just have this kind of basic script and you're just assuming that's going to resonate to the millions or hundreds of millions of people that are seeing your ads. But in reality, you really should use data to understand each potential impression, you know, person who's viewing the ads, their pain point, and then crafting a message to personalize how your product solves their problems. And that opportunity isn't really being utilized, I think, very well, because historically, again, it wasn't possible to create thousands of variations of ads. You know, a designer can only create so many ads, but an AI can create infinite number of ads. Now you can personalize your messaging like never before. And ultimately that means turning your advertising more, making your advertisers become more profitable.
So now you mentioned something that is really personalized kind of ads. I wonder if you see any future with algorithmic kind of ads, that even the whole ad, not just being personalized, but even the algorithm can probably, you know, change the ad versus just a small version of the ad or being personalized.
The ad that you're seeing right now is completely AI generated. The ads that you're seeing here are all completely AI generated. There is no human in the loop here in terms of the ad generation. Mm-hmm. So in fact, you can try, you and your listeners can try for themselves. They can go to our website, you know, sign up and start generating ads like this today within you know, a minute of signing up. And so everything, yeah, the image, the video, the copy, the layout, the diversity of ad concepts, all AI generated. This is really what's exciting about where we are technologically today. I think we're already here. The AI generated from scratch.
But maybe what I mean is more really built-in algorithm that can even communicate somehow and understand and do A/B testing and say, these are the things that I learned, the ads that are this way with this style are more attractive, gets more click, and then algorithm can start, you know, changing that rather than humans sit down and do the A/B testing and come up with the, you know.
Well, so you're seeing the outputs of this, but the way our product works, and I can walk through a product demo right now that I'm not sure if it's, just for those listening, you may not be wrong, but we have those demos or we have videos online of this. The way our product works is it is exactly this. So we have API integration with all your ad platforms. We learn what keywords, what imagery is driving results. And then we use those insights to prompt the AI to generate content that includes those features. So if we realize that, you know, a man in a blazer is driving higher performance, then we're going to generate more ads for the man in a blazer. If we realize that the phrase disrupt is driving more clicks, then we're going to have our AI, you know, in the prompt say, make sure you include that phrase disrupt in the ad. And so it already is a closed loop system. This is we're ingesting data from your ad platforms. We're getting insights about what keywords and imagery is driving performance. Well, for us also the phrase data driven, you know, is big for us, very big in terms of click-through rates and conversion rates. All that's being inserted into the prompt. We're then generating the asset with those keywords and imagery, and then we're turning those assets into video autonomously as well. So the whole thing is automated. It is an automated system to generate and optimize ads for you.
This is amazing. No, definitely something that, you know, including myself, I will definitely give it a try and we'll test it, but everybody else should be, you know, just at least spending a few minutes, go there and just look at it. And, you know, there is no reason not to really explore this, but this is amazing. This is actually the next generation of, you know, thinking about, you know, how ads could be when, you know, they are so algorithmic. And also you can really go there and just gain intelligence and amazing. So that's great. No, I love it. So it's still, I really don't know a lot about this, but the more I learn, I'm getting more excited about this kind of, you know, the technologies that can make really these ads more interesting. Now, let me ask you a question that may be a little bit futuristic. Maybe not, maybe a little bit futuristic. Let's say, I don't know how many years from now, 5 years, 10 years, but at one point, let's say majority of users are not humans anymore. And they are really digital users, you know, AI agents browsing the web, looking at different things, even shopping on our behalf or doing some other things. How does it change the advertisement world at that point?
Well, regardless of whether the agent is doing tasks for you, humans will always strive to be entertained. They're going to continue to, you know, search rich media for entertainment, whether those are games or videos or immersive experiences. And any digital or non-digital experience has an opportunity to be monetized with ads. So I don't think ads are going anywhere. Advertising is one of the oldest industries, I think, in business and in the world, really. And I mean, the first townsperson that put up a little sign that says, you know, visit my bakery, you know, was, or my, you know, cobbler who put up, you know, we fixed your shoes, you know, in your town square, it was, you know, the first ad. And so, or even actually they say that, like, even these like, you know, prehistoric cave paintings where people are drawing, you know, like, hey, this is where the buffaloes are, or this is where the cattle is. And, you know, you can hunt the cattle there. I mean, you can say that is even a form of an advertising. So advertising and visual communication to communicate, you know, and make money communicating a service is really an industry as old as human civilization. And I don't think that's going to disappear because of agents. I mean, you know, people will continue to strive to be entertained. People will continue to live, you know, as long as there are people experiencing the world and, you know, going through life, you know, as long as people have purchasing power. I think, this is a concern potentially that there has with the AI doomers, but like, you know, as long as people have purchasing power and they're experiencing the world, I don't see why there would be not an opportunity for advertisers to, you know, there wouldn't be an opportunity for business to communicate to that person, you know, about their business and proposition the business to that individual.
Right. Now, changing gears a little bit and talking with you as an entrepreneur, and there are some other entrepreneurs hearing this and listening to this podcast and hearing you, and they may want to know from your perspective, you know, when you started building this company, starting this company, building the product, going through all of this kind of journey, what would be kind of your experience with it, that if you wanted to start your second company maybe next year, you would apply that experience and you would say, that's the most important thing that I learned from my, you know, previous experience, and I want to apply it now for the next one?
Gosh, you know, I don't know. It's there's so much. I mean, being an entrepreneur is a calling. It's a vocation. It's a, you know, in some ways a career with many different skills and learnings that, you know, just like how do you become a master blacksmith, or how do you become a master, you know, carpenter, or, you know, a master salesperson, or, you know, a master marketer. I mean, it's there isn't necessarily like one thing. It's really a accumulation of a bunch of skills and lessons and learnings you gain through time. But like, I would say that, you know, I'll read a lot, learn a lot. I mean, I think there's a lot of learnings you can have from books and blog posts and other successful and just smart, deep thinkers who've, you know, you don't want to relearn someone's hard-earned learnings. If there's an opportunity to kind of, you know, learn from somebody else's mistake and incorporate that into yours, that's, you know, so you don't make the same mistakes. I think that's a big advantage. So definitely always be in a learning mindset. You want to be voracious for information, especially as an entrepreneur, because you're always seeking the opportunities that are kind of in the cutting edge, which means you have to have more, you have to have some kind of information asymmetry or advantage that gives you an edge in terms of the opportunities that you're seeing. I think also it helps if your brain is maybe wired a little bit differently, because you see opportunities, see risk a little bit differently than most people, other people. And so therefore you're willing to take those bets that maybe other people aren't willing to take. I think it's important to never give up, because, you know, if it's because it's just hard, and if you aren't passionate about it, then you're going to give up. And if you give up, that's when you fail. You know, the thing about every successful entrepreneur is they all didn't give up. I mean, the difference between someone who succeeds and fails, who succeeds and fails, and the person who failed just gave up sooner, and then the person who succeeded never gave up. And so I think we see that in common with successful entrepreneurs, but just people successful in any vocation. I think it's, you know, you gotta believe in yourself, you gotta have faith in yourself, you gotta have faith in your vision, you gotta be good at sales, communicate to investors and communicate to customers and communicate to team and convince them to be excited about what you're working on and get them on the journey with you.
Do you think in AI age that we are, and most likely we are going to see more AI, not less, in the next decade or so, do you think the entrepreneurship would be easier, or it will be the same, or it will be even more difficult than it has been in the past?
I think it's going to be, I mean, entrepreneurship is such a broad term that I think, you know, if one were to say, and I think there are entrepreneurs of all different types of industries. And so I think when it comes to software entrepreneurship or technology entrepreneurship, potentially, in some ways it'll be easier, but in some ways it'll be more competitive, because now anybody can create a compelling app. Therefore the competition is going to be fiercer. I mean, so it'll be easier in some ways to get started, because you can, with fairly limited resources, create a really good app. But at the same time, now the competition is fierce because anybody can compete with you there. And so I think it's going to be more dynamic. I think you're going to see, you know, there's this trend, right, that like the average lifespan of a Fortune 500 company is decreasing. And I think we'll only see an acceleration of that because, as you know, fundamentally technology has this democratizing effect that gives more people more power. And so as that happens, there's more competition, and as there's more competition, there's more disruption. On top of that, the acceleration of technological improvements also improving, accelerating. So there's just more disruption due to technological acceleration as well. And so, I would say in terms of, that it's probably never been an easier time to be an entrepreneur, but also in that sense, it's also never been a harder time because maybe historically, if you just had a lot, access to capital, you know, you could kind of win just because, you had some distribution advantage, you could win. But now those don't matter as much because things that were expensive, at least in terms of building software, is not as expensive. And so you have to compete in other ways. But therefore, the smart entrepreneur is trying to think, okay, well, in a world where software is getting commoditized, where is their value? Where is there going to be value captured? What layers of the economic stack is there an opportunity to capture value? It may not just be in creating a viral app. It may be in some kind of other adjacent area where there's value to be captured. And so one probably needs to think about software startups and apps and app startups differently. In that sense, then entrepreneurship is the same as it's always been. It's always about finding opportunities and executing those opportunities and seeing the economic machine in different unique ways and seeing there's an opportunity for value to be captured by kind of cornering this resource or building an app that corners this resource or corners something that's scarce. I think it's important to think, well, in a world where there's abundance of content, it's images or video or apps or games, well, what is scarce? For us, what's scarce is attention. That's why we're building an advertising technology company built on infinite generation of content. Because there's only so many eyeballs in the universe, in the world. And that's going to be fairly fixed. I don't think we're seeing an exponential increase in eyeballs. So you see more competition for those eyeballs because of more content. So that's an area where, you know, we're focused on, but there's, you know, competition for resources in terms of like, you know, I'm sure there's like competition for minerals and things that go into building these AI, hardware, and there's a resource constraint related to energy. And so there's different areas of resource constraints, that are secondary impacts of having abundant content generation. And so then the smart entrepreneurs thinking, okay, well, how do I create a business around creating and capturing value in those areas by creating some unique product. And so that's kind of what I would imagine, you know, an entrepreneur now is thinking about.
Great point. Thanks for sharing those. And I would like to ask you as well, as my last question, if you could share a book that or some books that you liked, either personally or professionally.
Well, I love this book called Accelerando, and it's a sci-fi book about this kind of future of humanity and kind of the brain meld with machines. And, you know, we live in a future where there's more AI than there's humans. But AI plus humans, you know, go on and conquer galaxies and build Dyson spheres around the sun and capture the resources around the sun. And it's a really optimistic future about how AI can enable abundance. And I think, yeah, that I think is the future that I think we all seek, is that. And I think, you know, the more people are aligned on a positive vision of the future, I think the more likely that's going to happen. So I do love this book, Accelerando, and I recommend it for those interested in reading some sci-fi.
Great. Thank you very much, Hikari, for being with us and sharing your thoughts. It was great speaking with you.
Thank you, Armand. It was really a pleasure as well. And thanks for the opportunity. And yeah, really enjoy this conversation.
Sure.
Thank you for listening to SaaS Scaled with Armon Ashraghi. For show notes and any resources mentioned in today's episode, go to sasscaled.com. If you're enjoying our show, give us a 5-star review and share on LinkedIn. And be sure to subscribe for any updates on future episodes. Thanks for listening. This episode is brought to you by Curve, the modern no-code analytics solution, the tools you need to take action with your data on a platform built for maximum scalability, security, and cost efficiencies. If you're ready to reduce complexity and dramatically lower costs, then contact us today at curvey.com. That's Q-R-V-E-Y.com.